again, looking at this particular miracle of Christ. We've been going through the healing miracles of Christ as they're recorded in the Gospels. And we want to read today John chapter 5, read the first 16 verses. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these five porches, lay a great multitude of impotent folk. Some of these, we see, were blind, halt, withered, and they were there waiting for the moving of the water. The reason they were waiting for the moving of the water was an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Then our attention is drawn to a particular individual in this multitude, and a certain man was there. And we see that this man had an infirmity, 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto them, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, "It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed." He answered them, "He that made me whole, the same, that is the same one who made me whole, said unto me, take up thy bed and walk." Then asked they him, "What man is that which saith unto thee, take up thy bed and walk?" And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. We saw last time that we looked at this multitude that are under these five covered places sitting around pool of Bethesda. We looked at the condition of these individuals, and we see that that draws a picture of lost man's own spiritual condition. We see that there was an utter inability, and we see this in the condition of the lost sinner. Again, all of this is a type of Jesus saving a sinner. So we first see the utter hopelessness and utter helplessness of man's condition. But notice, we want to see that Jesus arrived at this place, and he did so for one man in particular. And our attention is drawn to this one man. Again, he mentions the multitude, and he says some of them were blind, some of them were halt, some of them were withered. But then he draws our attention to one man in that multitude. And we see that in verse 5, and a certain man was there. And then John begins to describe the condition of this one particular man. Again, we don't know how many people were in the multitude. Obviously, it says there in verse 3, it was a great multitude. That is probably too many to count, but it was a great multitude. But in that multitude was a certain man. And we see in verse 5 that this man had an infirmity. It is, he had a disability. It does not tell us what the particular disability is here, but as you read on, it becomes obvious that the man was paralyzed. He could not walk. So we're told here that he had an infirmity, a disability, and we're told he had this disability for 38 years. 38 years. Now, how old is this man? We do not know. Perhaps he's 38 years old. Perhaps he's 60 years old. We don't know. What we do know is that he had this disability 38 years. Now, most commentaries make the assumption that the man was 38 years old, that he had this disability from birth. But again, that's all that is an assumption. It really doesn't matter. He had this disability for 38 years. In other words, 38 years, that's a long time, especially if you're in bad health. 38 years isn't as long as if you're in good health. But if you're in bad health, if you've got physical problems, 38 years is a long time. And this man was this way for 38 years. We see also he is referred to as an impotent man. In verse 7, the impotent man answered him, which is the same as the certain man in verse 5. And what that means is this man was so feeble, he was so weak, that he was absolutely powerless, that he was unable. He was physically unable to do what you and I normally do. He was an invalid. He was a crippled man. He was unable to stand. He was unable to walk. And again, he had been this way for 38 years. Now, one particular day, Jesus came among this multitude. This multitude, again, consists of the sick. It consists of the diseased, the frail, the infirm, the weak, the blind, the paralyzed, and the crippled. And Jesus walks through this multitude, walks past all of these individuals for one man, for this certain man. And Jesus went right where this man was. And the fact that Jesus Christ went through that multitude and went to this particular individual, is that not a picture of Jesus choosing this one man? This man had no more to offer than anyone else in that multitude. This was a pitiful multitude. This man is no more worthy than anyone in the multitude. But Jesus, it cannot be denied, as you read John chapter 5, and as you look at the healing miracles of Christ, Jesus went to a particular individual. Now, I believe that Jesus went there just for that individual. And he went there that day knowing exactly what he would do. He went there that day to heal this man. He knew where he would be. He knew where he could find this individual. Now, John records in verse 6, when Jesus saw him lie. Jesus saw him. Did Jesus see the rest of the multitude as he is walking through? Did he see the blind man over here and another crippled man over here? Certainly he did. Certainly he saw people in that multitude. But not in the same way that he saw this man. It is specifically said, and Jesus saw him. Now, how did Jesus see him? Well, we're told in verse 5 that this man had an infirmity for 38 years. As a result of this infirmity, this man is lying down. That's all he can do. He has no man to put him in the pool, we read later. So how did Jesus see him? He saw him in his condition. He saw him as an invalid. He saw him as a crippled man who had been this way for a long time. He's not looking on this man as someone who has something to offer. Jesus sees this man in his condition. And when the Lord came to you and I, he went through a multitude of people, and he came right where we are. He laid his eyes upon us, and he saw exactly what we were. And that's grace. That the Lord would not leave us there is grace. And Jesus saw this man just as he was. But notice what else it says. In verse 6, when Jesus saw him and knew. Now we realize that the Lord knows all things. He not only saw this man in his condition, he knew this man's condition. And he knew that he had been now a long time in that case. 38 years. Three very important words there in verse 6. In that case. In that case. In that situation. In that condition. Jesus saw this man in his condition, and Jesus knew all about this man's condition. Also, when Jesus saw him, he did so with purpose and intent. He had a purpose. He had an intention. And that, of course, was to make this man whole. So what we have here is Jesus coming to the sinner. And Jesus caring for the sinner. Jesus seeing this man. Jesus knowing everything there is to know about this man. And yet Jesus reached out to him anyway and healed him. That's grace. That's grace. When the Lord looks upon a sinner, knows everything about that sinner, and saves that sinner, that can be nothing but the grace of God. Jesus had every reason to leave that man just where he was. But the grace of God, he changed him. So he literally and in person came to where this man was. That was grace. And then he literally and personally caused this man to rise up, to walk, to carry his bed, changed his life, and that's salvation. So we see Jesus arrives for this certain individual. Now we want to notice what Jesus did. Again, we can all go back to the day that we were saved. And the Lord came to where we were. Wherever that was. The Lord that day came to where we were. He did so knowing full well what we were and who we were. And that we had nothing. And when he came to us, he did certain things. And we see here that Jesus did certain things to this individual. First of all, Jesus personally and directly dealt with this man. And I believe everyone that the Lord saves, the Lord himself deals directly with them. There's no third party. There's no fourth party. Jesus deals directly with the individual. And we that have experienced that, it's not something that you get over. It's not something you want to get over. It's a one time thing. I mean, the Lord deals directly with us many times, but this salvation experience is a one-time thing. And he personally and directly dealt with this man. Now, so you have Jesus. He's the one who is certainly able to bring life to this man's withered limbs and bring healing to his life. And he came and he ministered to this man. Notice again verse 6. Jesus saw him. It does not say the impotent man saw Jesus. That's not what it says. Jesus saw him. Jesus takes the initiative. We also see in verse 6, he, that being Jesus, saith unto him. So Jesus has done two things now. He saw this man, he laid his eyes upon him, and Jesus spoke to him. Notice we see the same thing in verse 8. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. So Jesus saw, and Jesus spoke. It was not that the man first saw Jesus, Jesus saw him. It was not that the man first spoke to Jesus, Jesus spoke to him. And then what did Jesus do? Jesus drew this man's attention to his own desperate condition. While this man is in a state of disability, while this man is in a state of ruin and helplessness, Jesus asked him a question. And he asked the question to draw this man's attention to his condition. No one will ever be saved without coming to the realization of their need of a Savior. And who is it that brings us to that realization? It's the Lord. It is a result of the Lord dealing personally and directly with us. When the Lord deals personally and directly with us, we will come to the realization of our condition. And the way Jesus brought this about, and he does it in many different ways, but with this particular individual, he simply asked him a question. Seems like an obvious question. Seems almost like a foolish question. Says, wilt thou be made whole? Now this is more than do you want to be whole. It's more to it than that. It says, wilt thou be made whole? Are you willing to be made whole? Again, the very question causes the man to realize and to acknowledge his condition. The response to that question was, Lord, there's nothing wrong with me. That wasn't the response, because that wasn't the purpose of the question. The purpose of the question was to cause this man to fully realize his condition. Now, the man's answer in verse 7, the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man. There's nobody, Lord, that can help me. He realizes his hopeless condition. He realizes that his condition is beyond the power of man. I have no man. The man's answer also reveals that the man had experienced disappointment in his life, There had been times when he got close to the pool and somebody got there before him. So the man is also called upon to think upon his disappointment and a sense of utter helplessness. And again, before the Lord saves a sinner, the sinner is brought to see his great need. We see also that Jesus commanded this man to do three things that he could not do. And when the Lord comes to the lost sinner, he brings this lost sinner to the point where they see their condition. And in seeing our condition, we see our need of a Savior. Having seen that, the Lord then commands us to do some things. Believe, repent, come. Things that we cannot do in our condition. Things that we cannot do in our condition. Jesus, again, told this man to do three things. He said, number one, I want you to stand up. He couldn't do that. Number two, I want you to bend down and pick up your bed. Well, he couldn't do that either. And number three, while you're carrying your bed, I want you to walk. Why, if the man could do any one of those things, he would not have been where he was. So Jesus told him to do things that he was powerless to do. And then we read in verse 8, Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." Then in verse 9, and immediately, the man was made whole. Now most people, and most commentaries, they miss this completely, because their theology is warped to begin with. But what they lead you to believe is that Jesus issued the command, and the man stood up, he picked up his bed, and he walked, and as a result, he was made whole. That's not what verse 9 says. That's not what verse 9 says. Jesus has issued the command in verse 8, and immediately, the man was made whole. Jesus healed the man. Jesus worked a miracle in this man's life. And as a result of something Jesus did, this man took up his bed and walked. And that's salvation. The Lord says, believe, but you can't believe. But the Lord gives you life. As a result of that life, you can believe, you can repent, you can come. And you do. That's salvation. You could ask anyone who's saved, did you believe? And they'll say yes. Did you come to Christ? Yes. Did you turn from sin to come to Christ? Yes, I did all of those things. Why did you do that? Was it because you're smarter than someone else? No, it's because God imparted life. And as a result of the impartation of life, we savingly came to Jesus Christ. And as a result of a miracle that Jesus did, the main miracle here is not that the man stood. The main miracle here is not that he bent down and picked up his bed and that eventually he walked. That's not the main miracle. The main miracle is, and immediately he was made whole. So now he is able to do these things. And the main miracle in salvation, again, Jesus said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. That is, there must be the impartation of life. And the main miracle of salvation is, because nothing else will happen until this does happen, the impartation
of life. And the main thing here, the miracle here,
was the man was made whole. As a result of the miracle, all could see this man stand up. They could see him reach down, pick up his bed, and they could see him walk. As a result of, the man was made whole. Again, we have a wonderful picture of the salvation of a sinner. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father,